Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, and we are going to be here in the studio for 2 hours today. Phone lines are wide open. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us today. We would really love to hear from you if you're going through grief or anxiety or addiction or depression or marital issues. So much we can talk about today at 1-800-229-3000. I'm joined by clinical psychologist Dr. Alice Benton, as well as licensed marriage and family therapist Mark Cameron, who's the leader of How We Love. Guys, great to have you here today. Mark, what's on your mind to start us off?
Well, it's back to school season, and I'm seeing a lot of online posts of people posting pictures of their kids saying, you know, first day in this grade, and I love seeing that. But with each new grade comes an anticipation of new growth, not just academically or biologically, but in emotional maturity too. Now, I remember the day when my son asked me to stop walking him to class. It wasn't because he was embarrassed of me, because he was only seven. It was his second grade, but he just wanted to do it by himself. He turned 21 just over a week ago, and he has ADHD. And that made school quite the roller coaster ride, not just for him, but for us as parents. He often got bored and distracted in class, and he liked to be the class clown. And sometimes that resulted in him getting in trouble with teachers, and other times that resulted in him having issues with other kids. And I remember the time when he got bullied in middle school, and I stepped in probably too much, and I didn't empower him, and he felt weaker. And then there's the time, freshman year of high school, when he was on his last strike. We had him in the local private Christian school, and they have quite high behavioral standards than public school. But when COVID hit and they transitioned to online school, I breathed a sigh of relief, and I said to my wife, well, can't get expelled now. Well, my son has a way of surprising you, and the school was very technological with their assignments, and he used his newfound skills to create a video of the top 10 beefs between people in the school, students and teachers, and he emailed it to his entire class, and it was supposed to be funny, but it didn't go down well, and then we had to scramble to find another school for the last 2 weeks of the year so he didn't get an incomplete. Now, why am I telling you these stories? Because as parents, when our kids struggle, it also activates our stress systems. They forget their homework, and we want to bring it to school. They're having troubles with a teacher, and we want to help them write the email. They don't make the team, we want to call the coach. They have friendship problems, we want to tell them exactly what to say, what to do to fix it. They act out in class, and we want to ground them, right? And there's obviously times that our kids genuinely need us to intervene, as well as apply appropriate consequences. But all of these experiences are the overall lessons for them to learn as kids, and for us to learn as adults, because parenting highlights our areas of growth. And this is where attachment is so important, because if we want our kids to be emotionally mature, we have to model that for them. We can't give what we don't have ourselves. My parenting struggles didn't primarily come from my kids' emotional maturity. They occurred because I needed to grow in my emotional maturity. And the one thing I wish I'd done different is have more emotional conversations during these experiences. Mm-hmm. Not just asking about their emotions, but also appropriately sharing mine. More is caught than taught, as the saying goes. So this school year, when your child comes to you stressed about a grade, a teacher, a friendship, something that went wrong, and you notice your stress system activating, get curious first. Don't just ask what happened, but also, how are you feeling about this? Mm-hmm. Then provide some comfort, empathy, understanding what it's like to have that problem in their age and stage. Because when we soothe before we solve, this models for our kids how to use that situation to grow in emotional maturity. And that's most often the best lesson that they can learn from a school year.
Mm. Dr. Alice?
I find that in addition to that great advice, sharing parental shortcomings and imperfections. Me too! I've messed up in these ways too, and this is what helped me move beyond it. Really adds to what Mark is talking about.
We'll be right back on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us today. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours, a great opportunity for you to call in and speak with Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. Maybe you want to talk about back to school and ADHD and things like that that we can discuss here on the show. Hey, look, Becky Brown is calling in. She's the president of New Life Ministries. Becky, are you calling to chime in on what Mark just said?
Well, you know, I always have something to say about what Mark is saying.
Nice to hear from you, Becky.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Brian. I'm not calling about that, but I do want to say that Soothe Before You Solve, that'll take us, I mean, we'll all be using that. I'm calling because I'm trying to solve an issue. You know, in this day and age, there are so many crazy things that people are struggling with. We hear it every day on the program. A couple of weeks ago, I was on, and Alice and I were on, and a woman was calling about a problem in her church that was, you know, a big secret was being kept, and she called us. And I think about the callers where there's so much pain in their marriage, and they call us. And they call us because they know they're going to be met with godly Christian counseling, with wisdom and trustworthy counseling, because we've been doing this for 40 years, almost 40 years. And I'm calling today because I'm trying to solve the problem of support. I know that people recognize the need for New Life to be out in the world in all of its forms. You know, we're on podcasts, YouTube, on the radio stations across the country, but we also have people who are listening across the world who want to know what, you know, what are the answers to the things that I'm struggling with in my life? And I'm just calling because I need the listener to help us do what we're doing. If you believe that New Life is making an impact in a world that is very confused and very just distorted with what truth really is, will you support us today? If you can go to newlife.com, click donate, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you know, We tell you every day how to give. And I'm just asking, it doesn't have to be $1 million, although I'd take $1 million, it'd be great. But every little bit helps. And if you are part of giving, you know that you're giving New Life to so many people. And there's so many people that we don't even know that are listening today, that are in one of the darkest parts of their life, and they know they can call us. And I hope that you will call us. 1-800-229-3000 is how I called today, and it was easy to get in, not just because of my job. But I had to come on today on this Monday to just implore you, if you haven't supported New Life, please do it today. It'll make a difference in the lives of so many people. And I know that New Life, we're working to make heaven crowded, right? We want more people to know about Jesus and know about the hope that they can have, and that there are, that we do have answers to their questions. And you all know that I can keep talking, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to let the calls come in, and I'm grateful for our co-hosts, the wisdom that they bring, and for you listeners. Thank you in advance, because I know you're going to help us.
Becky, I've had a couple people tell me directly recently they probably would have taken their lives if they hadn't found New Life. Wow. And that hearing the radio show and learning how to get out of that level of darkness and pain, they didn't know how. Their family didn't know how. And there had been generations of ignorance and darkness. And New Life was the first light. And New Life gave them the steps to take to be able to first learn how to survive the misery of their lives, but then learn how to transform their lives into something they actually want to wake up to and show up for. So I know New Life has saved probably so many more lives than I know of, but I've heard firsthand testimony recently.
Yes, thank you, Alice. All right, well, I'm going to let you guys do what you do best, and callers, you can call today, 1-800-229-3000. They will help you.
All right, Becky, always great hearing from you here on New Life Live. Hope to have you on the show soon. I forgot. I haven't memorized the September schedule yet, so I don't know when you're next going to be on. But you can call
I'll
in anytime. 1-800-229-3000 is the number that Becky called. And yeah, if you want to make a donation today, you can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. or you can go to newlife.com and click on the donate tab there. You can also text NLM as in New Life Ministries to 28950. You can make a one-time gift. You can sign up to become one of our monthly supporters. We call it the 99 for the One Partners. We're so appreciative of you guys. It can be a large gift, small gift, any gift. We would just love to hear from you. And maybe you have a story of how New Life has impacted you, and you can call in and share that. And because it's great when we hear the stories, mm-hmm. like you said right now, Alice, that you've heard stories of people who were just at that point in their lives where they were ready to just end it all, and they heard New Life.
Yep, suicide seemed like the only option, and I hear too often that suicide can feel like that's what will unburden my family mm-hmm. from the problem yeah, that yeah. I am in the life of my family. And to find out that is not the only answer. It's nowhere near the best answer. But many families haven't learned the importance of getting mental health on track, the importance of including spirituality in it, and that there are healthy communities out there that you can get involved in, especially if your family is broken. I have found that the most safe people I have ever met have been at New Life Intensives, yeah. New Life Listeners, because they know they're imperfect, they know there's brokenness in their history, but they want to grow. And getting surrounded by that kind of community starts to make life worth living.
When you hear about suicide, do you agree that it is the most selfish act that somebody can commit? Because, again, on the surface, they're thinking, no, this is going to solve everything. They're not going to have to deal with me and all of my issues and all of the guilt and shame that I've brought to this relationship. It'll be over, and yeah, they'll get over it eventually. What do you think?
I would use the word destructive. I think suicide is one of the most destructive choices a person can make. I think that I've never experienced. I'm checking my memory here. I've never experienced someone struggling with suicide who was doing it for selfish motives. I know that at times can be true. Maybe I'm going to show them, I'm going to hurt them by my suicide. That can be a factor. So I think there is an unintentional selfishness that can be tied up in suicide. But I've worked with the families who have survived, lived through the loss of one of their members to suicide. And it is a misery that continues for the rest of their lives because the reminders of the person who took their life are all around them. They're there at every holiday. You were talking, Mark, about going back to school. The reminders of that suicide are at the start of every new season, too. Oh, they're not here. As I go into the next grade, as I take my children to the next grade, that person isn't here anymore. So I guess I'm being cautious to call it selfish, because I think that has rarely been the motive in my experiences in my work. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between selfish and self-focused. A lot of what we do is self-focused, meaning we're just thinking about what are our needs, how will they be best met in this moment. And I think suicide is a tragedy because most people who are committing suicide, it's not necessarily I'm going to show them. It's more they're so overwhelmed. They just, they're in so much pain, they don't know what else to do with that. And sometimes they think I'll unburden my family by doing this. And so it's a tragedy. And so I would say if anyone is listening and you're in that place, these are temporary feelings. There's help that we can help provide you to, direct you to. We can help you here at New Life. And yeah, there's hope too. So don't do this alone. If you're struggling, give us a call. Even if you don't want to be on air, give us a call.
Yeah.
And we can help get you to someone.
Yeah. And if you're really desperate, we would tell you to call 988. It's like 911, but it's 988, and it's the mental health hotline. And they can assist you because no matter what you're going through, you don't have to do it alone. And we can help you here at newlife.com or by calling us at 1-800-229-3000 to speak with Mark and Alice. And right now we're going to the phones. Here is Judy in Pennsylvania who's listening on WBYN. Welcome, Judy, to New Life Live.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a question about a hallucinogen, which is called ayahuasca. Have you ever heard of it before?
Yes.
Okay. My daughter went to Peru and it was kind of on a wellness trip. And she took this about four times, and it's pretty strong stuff. And I'm just wondering where this comes from. I mean, is it a devil's brew, something like that? I'm just not quite sure. She had some near-death experiences taking it. And she wants to now go to Utah. Apparently she feels that she can get it there, although it's a controlled substance. On a Schedule One. Mm-hmm. It's a Schedule One substance. So it's I read it's up around like heroin.
Mm.
And it's not to be sold in the U.S., but anyway, it scares me a little bit. She's 35 years old, and she can, you know, I try not to butt in too much of what she's doing, but I just wondered, is it addictive?
Does she live with you, Judy?
No. Okay. No, she lives in Florida, and I think it's kind of a South American thing, and there's a lot of South Americans in Florida that maybe told her about this.
Hmm.
But no, she does not live with us.
Okay.
She's in Florida. We're in Pennsylvania.
And Judy, what is your daughter struggling with that she's seeking these solutions?
She is struggling terribly with being 35 years old, wanting to be a mother, wanting to find a husband, and just is not able to do that for some reason. And I think this is the main thing. She's just terribly unhappy and calls up many times and is crying and to the point where I can't understand her.
Huh.
And, you know, she just can't seem to climb out of this pit, which I feel she has been in for years.
Mm.
So I imagine I can see in a way why she would go to something mm-hmm. like ayahuasca, because she wants to feel better, or maybe something special will happen for her. I don't know. But she just really wants to have a baby, and I kind of talked her out of having a baby without a husband, but now she's, you know, and she's looking for a husband, and it's just not working out real well with her.
Has she tried traditional forms of help, therapy, medication?
Oh, yes, I think so. She's a little quiet about that.
Hmm.
She also, I guess was drinking to the point where she started to go to meetings, and she seems to be off it. I don't believe I get the whole story of anything when she talks to me. I think I get some bits and pieces, but I don't get everything that she's saying. But it's kind of a strained relationship because she scares me.
Hmm.
She scares me. And
Mark, any thoughts?
She does. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what's your connection like with her, Judy? So if she scares you and she doesn't tell you the whole story, does she feel like you're being intrusive? Does she experience you as fearful and wanting to be protective or telling her not what not to do? What's your connection like with her?
Well, I think she thinks that that I will disapprove of the things that she's saying, and that she's not going to tell me all. She wants to tell me something, but she's not telling me all.
All right, Judy.
And, so I think she knows it's something that I would disapprove mm-hmm. of.
Yeah. We have to take our commercial break, so if you'll stay on the phone for a few minutes, and we'll come back to you. And the phone lines are open for the rest of this hour and all of next. If you're on hold right now, stay on hold. I see Samantha, Renee, other calls coming in. We'll get to you as soon as we can right here on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
Tune
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, visit newlife.com. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, let's go back to Judy. What do you think of what you've heard so far, Judy?
Pardon?
What do you think of what you've heard so far from Dr. Alice and Mark?
Well, what I don't know if this stuff is illegal. It sounds like it is. And I think there's other things she can fill her life with than this. This is crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I understand why you're concerned, Judy. I wouldn't necessarily blame all the issues on the drugs. I mean, humans are always going to find ways to distort God's things. God made the plants. He made the animals. He made life on Earth. And as humans, we're going to find ways, because we have a sinful way to nature, to distort them. Now, addictions, substance abuse, those are ways to deal with emotional pain in a non-relational way. They distract, they numb. And so you were aware enough to be able to understand and know what's the emotional pain underneath for her. She's 35. Mm-hmm. She feels like her biological clock is ticking. She desperately wants to be a mother. She desperately wants to be a wife. And I'm sure there's other things that are going on in her life, depression, anxiety. And I think I heard from you is that she wants to talk to you, but then she's hesitant too, because when she has a discussion with you, she's going to hear you disapproving. So I think it's less about you needing to approve of what she's doing. And going back to what I began the show with, It's less about approve and it's more about soothe. Can you be a soother for her when she calls you instead of, and I understand why you may want to freak out because it feels distressing to you and concerning.
Yeah.
But to take that back seat and say, wow, that sounds really hard right now. Tell me, what emotional pain are you struggling with? I want to hear about that. And being able to listen and understand what's the emotion driving that, because we often feel better when we talk about our emotional pain with someone who can not necessarily solve the problem for us, but who can empathize and who can validate what we're feeling. And then we tend to see that relationships can be a soother of stress, and maybe I feel better going to this relationship because this drug or this substance, it's only very temporary, and then it leaves me wanting more. Yeah. But if I find safe people who can help me feel better, I'm more likely to seek that route. And so that's what I encourage you to do. The next conversations that you have with her, I don't ask her about her usage of the drug. Maybe just ask her about what she's feeling and try and soothe in that way. What do you think of that?
I think that's true. We lost a son, her brother, and I have three other children. And it was about 5.5 years ago, but we haven't recuperated. And this is part of it, because she said when she took the drug, when she went to Peru, that her brother was very much there. She said he was there. She didn't see him, but she felt him there. He was an angel.
Well, and that
he was at the pearly gates and throwing people out who shouldn't be there.
And so she's still in a deep grief, and you may also still be in a deep grief too. What a heavy thing to lose a son, to lose a brother, and so no wonder you're fearful of losing her.
He lost his life through drugs.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, we're a mess.
Yeah, so it sounds like she's trying to have some kind of connection with him as a way of managing her grief.
And you know, when she said that, I was very interested. I mean, I just keyed right in, because she was talking about my son, and he seemed to be in a good spot. He really did. He seemed to be in a good spot. Somebody had given him a good job up there. And so, you know, I even kind of fell into, wow, this is a good excuse me, a good thing that she's had this dream or whatever you want to call it. But now I'm a little concerned because she wants to go back and do it again.
So, of course,
not to Peru. She's going to stay in the United States this time, although I don't know how that's possible because it's outlawed, I think.
You're drawn in because you want connection with your son that you've lost. You're fearful because your family had the horrific loss because of substance use. You don't know if it's illegal, and you wonder about the spiritual consequences of what she's doing. And I know you're right to be concerned. And your fear is probably exacerbated because of what you went through with your son. And so I think your daughter feels that fearfulness and that natural desire you have to protect her from making what could be a really big mistake. So I know Mark is correct to be cautious and do your own work so that that other fear doesn't leak into this relationship too much. The Bible clearly tells us not to try to contact the dead, and your daughter wasn't doing that exactly. But from what I know about ayahuasca, it's often paired up with seeking alternative spiritual experiences, and that is troublesome, and I do believe the enemy can respond to that, and even might have a legal right to respond if we call out to alternative spirituality that is not God, seeking answers, seeking solutions. I think it's very risky. So I hope you'll offer to possibly finance her getting back into more traditional therapy with a therapist you can trust, and we'd love to help set your daughter up with that.
Yeah, stay on the line and we'll help you get set up. And we also want to send you a tip sheet called 12 Steps to Recovery from Grief. 12 Steps to Recovery from Grief. And we'll be right back.
Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. Wouldn't you love to be part of a rescue team? Don't miss your opportunity to be part of something that changes lives every single day, because everyone matters. Your generosity helps find them. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-for-one.
Join the mission, rescue the one, and restore the many.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are taking your calls for 2 hours today, the rest of this hour and all of next. So call us at 1-800-229-3000. And if you are battling an addiction, things can change for you. It's never too late to change the end of your story. And Life Recovery Groups can help you. Life Recovery is a 12-step program based on a set of biblical principles in addiction treatment that outline a course of action for tackling problems such as drug and alcohol addiction, overeating, sex addiction, so much more. Visit newlife.com to learn more about joining or starting a group, or just to explore the resources available. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. Let's talk to Renee, and then Samantha, you'll be up next. Renee in Fredericksburg, Virginia, who listens to us on Sirius XM, channel 131. Hi, Renee.
Hi. I love you guys. Your show is just so awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Renee. How can we help you today?
So, okay, just a little background. This young man, I mentored kids, you know, when back in the 80s and 90s, and he was a young man that I stayed in touch with. He was in foster care. Mm-hmm. He was part of my family. He would have been 45 coming this Friday, Saturday, but he committed suicide April. And I was on the phone with him trying to beg him not to. The police were at his door, but he committed suicide. And And while I still love him and I understand he just couldn't deal with what he was facing, my question for you is moving forward. Okay. Sometimes, you know, I cry. I don't cry as much anymore. I write down my thoughts and I'm reasoning, you know, I speak to him just to get through it. But moving forward is rough, and I pray for anyone in these shoes. And just, you know, what can you say about moving forward for people, loved ones that are left behind?
Wow. We're so sorry that you had to experience that, Renee. Mark, what would you say?
Yeah, so you were you there, Renee, when it happened?
So the police contacted me. They said we have a situation, and then I immediately head to him. They would not let me go to his house. I was just on the phone with him, you know. And, you know, we were in the process. They were putting a message together for me to speak to him. They wouldn't let me do it directly. But then in that process, I was texting him 8:35, and he killed himself like around 8:45. So he was texting me. He just kept saying suicide is better. You know, our last words is I love you. And I'm begging him, you know, can you imagine? I'm texting, please don't do this. You know, I'm here. I love you. You know, he asked me, was I there? And I said, yes. And I believe he did it then.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's, that adds to the impact of the devastation of suicide, because you were actively there communicating with him. And that's traumatic for you. Have you done any therapy for that experience?
I didn't, and I was thinking, I said, you know, maybe I'm traumatized and I need some help. I don't know. And we're veterans, so I've been thinking about reaching out for that.
Well, I think that would be a really good idea, Renee. That's trauma right there. It sounds like it being a veteran, you've already had a lot of trauma going on just being in the service. And so you may be quick to dismiss certain things because you may have seen things that the average person hasn't seen. But I would recommend just being able to process that experience if it's done during talk therapy or maybe even EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And it's a trauma-based therapy that can really help you move the trauma of that memory into longer term storage and desensitize it. It's very effective. And this just happened not too long ago here in April. And so in addition, I would do that. And then in addition, also go to a grief share group, where you get with other people who talk about the grief that they're going through, the trauma, the stress, how difficult it is. And, you know, we know that when we do that with other people because oftentimes you can talk to friends about it, but if they're not in your shoes, it's hard for them to relate completely with what your experience is. And sometimes people just will try and silver line it or say, oh, well, it will get better, or everything happens for a reason, or they'll use something like that, which is, they're trying to be helpful, but it's not really helpful. And being able to go to a grief share group can really help you feel safe to get those raw emotions out of anger and sadness that maybe others have a hard time being present around.
Alice?
Renee, I appreciate that, and I am going to reach out to them.
Good.
Renee, have you been struggling with guilt that you didn't say the right thing, you didn't do enough, you could have prevented this?
Well, I had to get rid of the guilt because I felt like I should have went to his house, you know. Unfortunately, I was afraid of him, to be honest with you. He was suffering from 911 PTSD. And to be honest with you, I saw it coming, okay, based on my experience and knowledge. I knew he was struggling, and we like to shoot, you know, go shooting and all, and I knew he had guns. I became afraid of him, so I was reluctant to go to his house because I was afraid of him. So I don't feel guilty, but I sometimes feel, could I have said more, did more? I don't know. I do go back and forth, but I let the guilt go because I know enough to know that I had no control over that.
All those complicating factors. You were afraid of him. He had guns. You went shooting together. And it very well could have turned into a homicide-suicide combination.
Yes.
And the struggle of letting go of the guilt, although you said you have, it does sound like those thoughts do still come to your mind. And all the forms of therapy that Mark talked about will help put those in the right place. And EMDR helps to take the emotional weight and separate that away from the memory of the facts of what happened, so that with enough therapy, you can recall what you have been through without feeling overwhelmed by emotions or guilt or what I should have done and what I should have said. And as Mark said, to look for a grief group, I would add to specifically look for a survivors of suicide group. Hmm. And that is for the family members of someone who has committed suicide. And even though I understand you're a godmother, that would still be very fitting for you, because the grief of a suicide is so unique. It's quite different than a normal loss by an expected death. And so please look into that. When I have survivors groups of those who have committed suicide, they're very common, very accessible.
Anything else, Mark?
Yeah, and also, Renee, I would say this. Being able to recognize the different stages of grief can be helpful, too. Denial, bargaining, anger, sadness. And when we make those statements of, I could have done more, what I should have done this, being able to recognize that's part of bargaining can really help you understand what is going on in your emotional experience in that moment.
So stay on the phone, Renee. We'll put you in contact with a life recovery group in your area, also a therapist or a counselor there. And I love the idea, Alice, that this is something that maybe the whole family should, or all of his loved ones should get together and do. Should Renee do it on her own or with the family members?
I'd say certainly start on your own. But if other people are willing to join you, it helps to be led in how to talk about this kind of grief, because most of us think, oh, don't mention that. Stay away from that topic,
because
what if Renee's doing well today? We don't want to bring it up. Whereas we know therapeutically, in fact, it's more helpful to bring up these topics, but best done in a structured environment and led by other people who have been through something similar.
We also have many resources available in the newlife.com store and on newlife.com, lots of articles and videos. I'm thinking of the book, The Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. That's in the newlife.com store. And we've also got several articles there that you can find at newlife.com. 12 Steps to Recovery from Grief is one that we talked about earlier. Also, 10 Tips for Healthy Grieving. Those are available. Those are tip sheets, actually. So we'll put links to those in the show notes if you're watching us online. And guys, if you are struggling with sexual integrity, it rarely stays contained. It affects your relationships. It impacts trust. And often, it leaves the people closest to you feeling hurt, confused, or unsure what to do next. If you're facing this struggle, you can find real help at the Everyman's Battle Workshop. It's led by licensed counselors who understand. The weekend helps men understand, confront, and break free from patterns of sexual struggle with honesty, support, and a clear path forward. The next one is starting next Friday, the 11th of September in Orange County, California. Join the thousands of men who have found freedom at Every Man's Battle. You don't want to be a statistic of someone whose family broke apart or something because of a sexual integrity issue. Instead, you can be a statistic in a positive way. You can be one of the thousands of men who find freedom. And you can find out more at newlife.com or by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back here on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, visit newlife.com. Now back to New Life Live.
So many of you are struggling with so many different things. We're going to be in the studio for another hour, and we invite you to call in. If you're having issues maybe with your family, family has hurt you, we're going to talk about that next hour. So call in at 1-800-229-3000. You can talk about any issue. It doesn't have to be about family. It could be about work situation, church situation. Call us up at 1-800-229-3000. Let's talk to Samantha in Bismarck, North Dakota, who listens to us on KNDR. Welcome, Samantha, to New Life Live.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm excited to call in.
Hmm.
Well, it's great hearing from you.
Thank you. I am undiagnosed. I think I have either ADHD or autism. but I really struggle with being really observant, highly sensitive, and with like kind of unspoken conversation just in my relationship, you know?
Okay.
The story that made me want to call in was your son with ADHD. Mm-hmm. And the slideshow that he posted.
Mm-hmm.
And my question, I don't want to focus too much on him, but do you think that there was any positive change that came from posting and bringing those issues into the light? Because it's hard for me to ignore those things that are going on around me. And I just wonder if that's what he was feeling. That's what I feel.
Are you someone who likes to tell things like they are?
Oh, yeah. And it gets me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Is that a learned thing, Samantha? What was it like growing up in the home that you lived in? Did people tell the truth? Did people say what was on their mind?
Definitely not. Very abusive, very shut down. Oh. Yeah.
It wasn't that way. It was abusive. Is that what you said?
It was that way. And shut down. Yes.
And shut down. So you grew up in an environment where people just said what was on their mind, who let you know what they thought in a very unhealthy way, it sounded like. So most of what we know, you know, unless it's kind of innate, like eating and breathing, is learned. Everything that we know is learned. We have things that are modeled for us. And then we take those behaviors and we take them into adulthood with us. And so it sounds like that's what was modeled for you, is not having a filter. Now, it is true that people who have ADHD have struggles with impulse control. And so they can blurt things out or they can talk over people. It doesn't necessarily mean that it makes them a truth teller and that they're going to be somebody who's going to criticize or condemn or call someone out. It's not a bad thing necessarily to call someone out, to call something out, as long as we're doing it in love. The Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And so if we're speaking something in a way that is not kind, it's condemning, it's tearing someone down, then it's probably not helpful to do that. How do you find that it hurts you and your relationships?
Well, kind of more of the unspoken conversation that hurts me. You know, I kind of question people's their motives, you know, and I know it's too much, and I know that there's issues with it, but sometimes it can also be protective, and, I mean, there are people who just kind of want to, you know, like, when somebody compliments you, like, I'm like, okay, trying to figure out what this compliment means. You know, are they trying to win my favor? Are they trying to get something? You know, or do they genuinely like it? I kind of have to filter through that and, of course, try to take it with, you know, with the positive thing. But as to where it's taking me in the relationship, you know, do I feel like I need to give a compliment? Do I feel like, yeah, I want to hang out with this person? You know,
Samantha, part of that to me sounds like what life has taught you. If your parents were abusive, the ones who are supposed to protect, the ones you're supposed to be able to trust, if you couldn't trust them, it makes it so difficult to know whom to trust later in life. So on the one hand, of course, it's good to wonder, oh, someone's treating me well. What do they want from me? Because a lot of people do. And they want to take advantage of your goodness or your vulnerability. And sadly, your parents did that. But where it can become very problematic is if it's hard for you to determine the good people that are trustworthy, not perfect, but the ones that you can let your guard down with and be vulnerable. Do you have any of those people in your life with whom you share the true thoughts and feelings you have?
A few, but I mean, everyone is busy and I can kind of go for a while. I have a lot of thoughts.
And so there is a loneliness in your life. Even though there are a couple good people, they're not available enough. And so you're lacking enough community support, I think, to feel fulfilled. So I'd say a couple of things about truth-telling. I want you to wonder if you have the skill of diplomacy. And that is that ability to discern when truth should be told and how. It is a high-level skill to know how to balance out truth with enough grace. Because most people, they can't take truth. They don't want it. And especially if we're too harsh or edgy or abrupt in how we give truth, then it probably won't be received well. So a couple of steps I try to follow when I am deciding whether or not to give people a tough truth. I first remember that anytime I've gone in guns blazing with the certainty that I knew exactly what happened and I'm going to set them straight, I often didn't really have enough information and I regretted my guns blazing approach afterwards. When I go in with curiosity first, you gave me that compliment. Oh, that got me thinking. Tell me more about that. And I'm curious to know, what is it that you're hoping for our friendship, our relationship? When I get curious first, and then I pray and I consider, I still have this truth. I think this person's trying to take advantage of me. I think they're after something. With a little bit of time and prayer, I decide how to go about bringing the truth. I almost never do it immediately. I might even take a couple of days to decide whether or not to bring truth. And then if I go to them with a plan, with gentleness and humility, it is so much more likely that my tough truth will be received by then. And usually, Samantha, if it's a high-level situation, if it's of high importance, I need to pass it by some other trusted people to get their perspective, to be objective about how I'm doing it. So if you don't have enough of those people, I encourage you to get into one of our New Life recovery groups that we have. It's exactly where you'll find that kind of people. And I wonder why your ADHD or autism is going undiagnosed. Let us connect you with clinicians who can help figure out whether or not you really have that diagnosis so you can learn how to better manage.
Yeah, I think Alice has picked up on something here that I think it may even be a trauma response, this suspicious, because it was adaptive back then to be suspicious about what someone's saying. Are they trying to manipulate me to take advantage? And so being able to find those safe people, find a therapist there, because then you can fully trust that a therapist is going to be trustworthy for you. But get an official diagnosis if you're concerned, because a lot of times trauma can elicit some of the same symptoms that these diagnoses like autism or ADHD show.
Samantha, thank you so much for calling us today here at New Life Live. And stay on the phone, because we're going to put you in touch with a life recovery group in your area who can help you, and also someone who can help diagnose you. And we've got a book in the newlife.com store called Trust. I think that would be a good one for you to read. We're going to be in the studio for another hour. Elizabeth, Marie, we see you on the phone. Don't hang up. Everyone else, keep calling in to 1-800-229-3000. If you want to change your name, that's fine.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you would take a minute, leave a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com to find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.